Hello, I'm RJ City, and you are listening to the Monster Cast. You're going to talk about Bela Lugosi. They're going to talk about Lon Chaney Jr. He'd be so sad, holding his hat, saying, "Please put me in this room and don't unlock the door." And you can't do any better than the Dahl brothers, Jack and Ryan. They're brothers, but they're also bros. What? Pardon? Wrestling. Well, who the hell wants to talk about wrestling? These are horror movies. It's a deep genre. It's a smart genre. Fantastic actors. Fantastic cinematography. Wrestling is just sweating and fireworks and bouncy ropes. There's nothing. So how do you talk about that every week? All right. Let's see them try. Take it away, you crazy dolls.
You.
Jesus, fuck. Fuck my fucking ass. What the fuck? Please shut up.
No. Master Watto
is shut up.
You're gonna put some respect.
Stop fucking
on his
saying
name now.
Master Watto on this fucking show.
IWGP Junior Heavyweight Co-Champion.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross App of Fightful here. You're watching the Monster Cast with Jack and Ryan. A big shout out to those fellas. Good people. Check them out.
Oh my god, what is this?
It looks like a TV.
The New Japan titles, they need to stop making titles.
It looks like a TV, bro. They took it too literally. That's the problem.
They should have just turned it into a TV. I would have been more impressed.
That would have been cooler.
Put some antennas on the top.
No, just make it like a digital title. Like, it, you could display whatever you want on the digital
Like
title.
An LCD screen?
Yeah.
And then have the picture of the person that's the champ. That'd be so good. That'd be worth it.
Wrestling podcast. How fucking original.
Jake and Brian. Brandon Cutler here from AEW, and I hope you guys have an awesome podcast with the Monster Cast. What was that? Your name is Jack and Ryan? Shut up, Jack and Ryan.
Tell me who you would sign first.
Hiroshi Tanahashi.
No, not overall, genius. Between the two goddamn examples I'm about to give you.
Master Wada.
Killer Cross or Dominik Dijakovic, who are you signing first?
Killer Cross, 100%.
What the fuck?
Absolutely.
Wrong! That answer is wrong!
I would.
Oh my god.
You don't know shit! Your opinions suck!
I guess I just, I mean... You're welcome.
I don't think I've ever said boo.
I will.
That's so stupid.
I'll do it.
Boo.
You can't. Don't actually say the word because that's why it sounds weird. You got it. It's like more like a note. Boo. You don't fucking actually say boo.
No.
Boo. Boo. Ah. Boo. Boo. You don't turn it into a fucking chant. You actually have to.
I will. I'm gonna do that at Forbidden Door.
You start a boo chant. Boo.
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 Boo. Boo. Boo. Boo.
Here's your host of the Monster Cast, the Straight Edge Monster Jack and Ryan.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Monster Cast. I'm your host, the Straight Edge Monster Jack. That's Ryan Rockwell, and we've got a nice show for you. That's right, your eyes do not deceive you. 2 weeks in a row, baby, we're back. We're back. We're doing it.
Wake up on time. And
I got a huge storm outside behind me. So if we're not back long, that's why. But we got a big show for you today because something happened on Dynamite that we've been waiting on for probably, what, ever since she showed up at All In last year in the audience. There was rumors about her possibly going to AEW. And obviously...
Oh,
Yeah, I mean there was, obviously. But obviously,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Obviously it's picked up. I think it cooled down when she got hurt. When she got hurt against Willow, it cooled down. But Mercedes Moné is officially All Elite. Okay. So here's where we want to go with this. And it's not necessarily or not whether or not they should have signed her. I do believe they should have. I do believe that they should have thrown the bag at her to get her, because all the reports the entire time one of the reasons she left or didn't come back the first time, or one of the reasons she didn't come back this last time, is because both negotiations, even after she went and did what she did by herself in New Japan and Stardom, they still did not view this woman as Charlotte Flair or Becky Lynch money, which I believe is asinine. I think she should be... I'm not saying she should get more than them, but she should definitely be getting equal to them, in my opinion. So I've always been on that side of the thing. And they still were not willing to give her that money. So... because I'm on the side that she should have gotten that money, I'm not against AEW bringing her in, okay? That is a foregone conclusion as far as I'm concerned. I said bring her in as soon as she fucking left the first time, before she even went to New Japan. Because we were talking on the show about, remember the report that came out about how much money she was getting from conventions, or that she was asking for conventions, and we were like, is it worth it? And we're like, yeah, of course it is. Like, no shit, it's worth it. She was like the biggest female wrestler name at the time because of the way that she just bounced out of WWE, right? So her name was hot. So of course you're going to pay $60,000 to get fucking Mercedes into your fucking convention, because you're going to be making more money than that based off the ticket sales and shit coming in.
Maybe.
Well, you got to factor into account people got to eat. You sell food in those places.
Yeah, it'd be like, if getting in was $20, and, see, but most conventions don't have, like, an entry fee. That's the other part of it, too. So, yeah, it just depends, I guess.
I assume that the one that she's going to get paid $60,000 to go to has an entry fee.
Yeah, but you'd need 3,000 people paying $20 a piece to get 60,000. Are 3,000 people going there specifically for her? Is the question.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. They're not paying per person to get in. It's a flat rate. So if you had another person in there at $30,000 already, and then you brought her at $60,000, but it's still more eyes coming to your thing, is what I'm saying. So like, I still feel like it would have been a big deal, especially the first one. The first one that she shows up to would have been huge. Obviously, the ankle injury or whatever the hell it was, I think it was ankle injury, against Willow, really derailed her heat, her steam, basically. But she's back, and the question isn't on the show about whether they should bring her in, because I've been on the fence, solely on the side of the fence, that they should have done it a long time ago. Ryan over here has no issue with them bringing her in, as far as I'm aware. But is not a huge, as big of a fan or as high on her as I am or other people are. Now, I'm not sitting there fucking changing my profile picture to fucking Mercedes and attacking everybody that disagrees with me. But, you know how those people are. So that takes me out of it a little bit, because I cannot stand the super stan fucking accounts like with Rhea Ripley, Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné. Liv Morgan has a huge one. Like, it's fucking quite annoying. Block on site for anybody that's on X or Twitter, whatever you call it personally.
I did just realize that it seems like my username is a reference to her, though, because Mercedes and Sasha Banks, and then my Twitter handle is Lamborghini Bank.
Yeah.
But mine comes from,
if you change your, no joke, if you changed your profile pic to a Mercedes Moné pic, especially the Sailor Moon outfit from Royal Rumble, right? If you change it to that, and then you post one thing that's like, Mercedes Moné is the greatest female wrestler of all time, I promise you, you'll get like fucking 300 new followers that are all stan accounts from fucking Mercedes Moné, dude. They'll just assume that you're a stan account as well because of your Twitter handle.
Yell about the history of Palestine for fucking 6 hours straight.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of those people look at your old tweets before they decide to follow you. They're just going to look at that one single tweet or whatever. But anyway, the question is, did you think her debut in AEW went better than her debut in New Japan?
Well, she didn't fuck up the move. There you go.
Well, we both agreed that it wasn't her that fucked up the move in New Japan, but all right. Sure thing, guy.
It's a confusing move to take, I guess. But no, I think this one, but that's funny too, because wasn't it Kai Blue that took it on Dynamite and took it fine, so... Clearly they at least...
Well, Mercedes also wasn't in heels this time. She was actually dressed to fight.
Yeah. I think this one went better. Her promo was good.
Yeah. Really solid, actually.
Yeah, she was doing a lot of that thing that I complain about with her, where it's like, your whole character is supposed to be whatever it's supposed to be, but then you just get so overwhelmed and emotional about everything that it kind of takes away from whatever your I'm better than everyone mystique is supposed to be.
Well, she did come off as the face, like I said she would. Not necessarily. We knew she was going to be cheered, obviously. It's in Boston, and it's her thing. Yeah. But I'm saying her actual promo was a face promo as well. Even at the end of it, when she was like trying to tell you her mission statement, it was to take women's wrestling global, the Forbidden Door global, whatever. Except WWE, obviously, because WWE is going to be like, nah, fuck you. But and then, of course, she helps Willow at the end of the night. So she's clearly face.
For now.
For now, yes, for now.
But she cut the CM Punk promo. I'm home. And
well, the funny thing about that is I can't get mad about the I'm home statement because she technically was in Boston, which is I'm home. She wasn't saying that AEW was her home, but yeah, I can see why that was like, huh? You're home. What are you talking about? The only time he was at AEW was in fucking London, bro. Like, what are we talking about here?
Right.
You're home. But yeah, no, she clearly was talking about Boston, but it was still cool as fuck. I do like the reference that the pay-per-view that she main evented was also in Boston, and she made reference to that without mentioning WWE by name, so that was cool.
They also put on her little title card, 7-time world champion or whatever.
Yeah, because AEW doesn't fucking alienate other accomplishments, which we've talked about before on the show. I think we talked about it last week about Excalibur calling the Styles Clash when Will Ospreay did it against Takeshita. They are never one to shy away from it. That's why I also don't have a problem with it when they make fun of said company. Because they're allowed to. They accept the good stuff that comes out of the company, and they shit on the bad stuff at the same time. If you're going to do both and not just focus on the negative over the positive, then I have no problem how many times Cody Rhodes comes out there and destroys a throne with a fucking sledgehammer. I don't give a fuck. That's awesome to me. I don't understand why people have issues with that kind of stuff. Why people have that kind of issue with that kind of stuff when ECW did it all the time, and every time ECW did it, people popped hard and was like, oh, that's so badass. ECW is great. They're the true alternative or whatever. They're not like the other two guys, even though they kind of were.
Because people think that AEW is trying to be WWE because they don't know the difference. Probably weren't around for WCW.
Yeah, I ran into one of those people today or a few days ago. My tweet was popping off, son.
I feel like a lot of them legitimately just weren't around to know that WCW used to do that shit all the time. Including in their most successful period. Or they do know that, and they'll say stupid shit like, it was the reason that they died. Like, that's not the reason they died. The reason they died is they had no fucking direction after they were done with the Sting stuff.
Oh, yeah, no. They fucked up the Sting stuff! What are you talking about? Yeah, fuck yeah. Hogan fucked up the entire Sting thing after a fucking year and some change fucking storyline. And then gets to the fucking main event of Starrcade, which was supposed to be the biggest fucking thing ever. And then fucking have...
Do a fast count, brother.
Yeah, do some bullshit, like trying to do some fucking weird-ass finish instead of just getting beat clean by the one person that hasn't gone against you that could beat you.
Yeah.
And don't forget the fact that he lost the championship to Luger for like a 2-week period, not long before that, that completely fucked up the mystique of the Sting versus Hogan match.
Mm-hmm. That's weird, too. Like, why are you okay losing to Luger, but not... Yeah, it's all stupid. But then everything from there was downhill.
That Wolfpack, I love the Wolfpack era.
Yeah.
I do love Wolfpack. I don't give a fuck what nobody says. Wolfpack era is great.
I just said, who did? Look, see, now we're talking about AEW again. But no, the Mercedes stuff, like I said, I think we talked about this last week. No sense for her to do a callback to the Willow stuff at some point, probably get her win back. And I think we talked about her doing something with Deeb, which might still happen. We'll see. But we were at least half right.
Mercedes did post something about Deeb on her Instagram story.
Okay.
Not like she didn't type it out, but she like had reposted something that Deeb posted type deal, if that makes sense, like a video or something. So clearly, I think they are going to have that match.
Well, she was on...
yeah, AEW. Right? Yeah,
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't watched it. I watched one clip, but I haven't watched the entire episode yet. The Shave the Head clip.
Oh, I thought it was going to be about Paige Webb.
Mm. All right, so we're both in agreement that it went better than New Japan debut.
Yeah, it was fine. A lot of people were excited for it. You know, it's one of those things where, like, I'm happy for the people that are happy about it. It doesn't really, it's not something that really registers that much for me.
But
we'll see if she gets
into it. Do you think that the way that she talked about the women's division as a whole is clearly something that she had a conversation with Tony Khan about, hey, man, if I'm coming in there, we're going to be booking this fucking women's division a lot better than what the fuck you have a reputation for type deal?
Yeah, and I kind of don't like when people come in and do that because it makes it look like it's bad. And you can make the argument that it is bad, but I don't like having somebody.
I don't think their women division bad. I think the way they're booked is not great. Is the better? I mean, because they get time in the ring when they do get time. It's just it's one match and it's right before the main event every time. Like it's the fucking cool down match, and it shouldn't be like that every time. Now in the last few, like the last month, it hasn't been that. We've been praising Tony Khan for putting on more than one fucking women's match, and then he had what, three at the pay per view or whatever it was. So it's like, including the 0 hour, of course. So there are things that were kind of already shifting before they brought her in, but they've also said that she's already been signed with the company for basically 2 months. So maybe that was part of the fucking deal. Like, hey, I'll come there. I want to be there. I love the money you're offering and stuff, but I'm not going to come there to fucking just chill either. Because that kind of makes me look bad as a decision that I made, because everybody's like, hey, I left WWE because I wanted shit to change in WWE and it wasn't changing. Went to fucking New Japan, helped get fucking two titles off the ground, and then coming over here, and if you don't do anything with me, like fucking WCW with Bret Hart, then it makes me look stupid for fucking accepting the contract. So you got to do something.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know how much it's going to change how he books, but we'll see. If she's got some hand in creative for the division, that might even be more useful than him just promising to do better, you know? Because when Kenny was booking the division, it was actually really good. So,
speaking of booking decisions, let's talk about the AEW Tag Team Title Tournament that was announced. A lot of people had issues with this tournament. Were you one of those people?
Yeah, I don't understand how you have Claudio and Moxley go over FTR, but have FTR in the tournament and not Claudio and Moxley.
Okay, so this was reported. Well, I don't know if it's been reported, but there is a thing going around that they're going to be in Mexico at some point during this tournament, so that TK didn't want to potentially have some snafus with the fucking scheduling of the tournament around the AAA shit. So apparently they're going to be in Mexico because they're continuing their feud with the AAA guys. So that's why they weren't in the tournament, which makes sense. Because you don't want to put them in there and then, hey, you're going to be in a first round exit because you got to go to AAA, because that's going to make you look bad over here in AEW type deal.
I thought their thing was with CMLL.
CMLL, my bad. That's what I meant to say. Sorry. I like AAA better than CMLL, so that's why I said AAA. But yeah, CMLL, guys. I'm a fucking Penta Phoenix fucking Vikingo fucking fan.
They're here already.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Clearly, that's where they fucking came from.
Well, did you notice they had Penta on the same card as a CMLL guy the other night? That was interesting. They haven't done that.
Well, that, I mean, how long has it been since he's been in AAA?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, like. And he's the only one so far, too. Phoenix hasn't been yet, because Phoenix, I think, is still hurt, right?
Well, he wasn't in that match, but that was basically Death Triangle plus Kingston, so yeah, I guess so.
So Penta might be the only exception to the rule right now, because we still haven't seen Roosh. We haven't seen Vikingo since. We haven't seen Commander? Commander's been in Ring of Honor. So
Well, Commander was just on the other night, but I don't think he was on at the same time as the CMLL guy, because he had the match with Takeshita on Rampage.
Yeah, see, I don't like that rule. Like, I don't like sacrificing Penta and Phoenix and Commander and Vikingo for CMLL guys that I don't think are as good. I don't have a problem with the CMLL guys, but I don't think they're better than the AAA guys. They're not better than Roosh. They're not better than Penta. They're not better than Phoenix. They're not better than Vikingo. And those guys also have deeper characters, more layers to their character than the CMLL guys to me. So, it's whatever.
It's because you didn't Google them.
I know who the fuck they are. It doesn't mean... I know who fucking Austin Theory is too. It doesn't mean I like him.
Why?
Because he's not good.
At what?
Wrestling?
Bullshit.
Stop.
He's a better wrestler than half your favorites.
Okay, sure thing, guy.
Austin Theory sure. would be on my route, Mount Rushmore before fucking Steve Austin would be.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
For in-ring right. work? 100%.
You're out of your fucking mind. That shitty-ass sell that he did that everybody was praising like it was the next Dolph Ziggler when you can clearly see him jump the fuck up.
I didn't see a single person praising that shit.
Bullshit. Everybody I saw it. I saw it online.
Everybody was saying that it would have been a cool spot if he didn't stop to do the jump. And even then, I was just like, I don't think it would have been that cool of a spot.
It would not have been cool. You know what would have been probably better? If they would have had a different angle when they shot it live, maybe. To hide it. You literally put it face... You put it in front of his face and literally watch him jump into Orton.
Yeah, it was dumb. Or the way to do that, I feel like, instead of doing the little the rock jump bullshit, is you just have him sell it as the, like, Mortal Kombat finish him fucking standing there wobble and then fall forward into the RKO. That would have been way better.
Or if Owens would have done it the other way, and then he could have done the rock, hey, flip behind instead of jumping straight. He could have done the roll back behind, and then Orton just fucking spins him around real quick and then does it. Would have been awesome, too. Like, the way he did it was, like, the worst possible way to do it.
Stop and jump straight up.
Like, it was so dumb, dude. It was so dumb.
That's my goat, though, so.
Yeah, okay. We've seen your goats on. We've seen your goats on the show. So,
what do you mean,
Master Watto?
What's wrong with Master Watto?
Everything.
Name one thing.
His name, first of all.
You know what it means.
Master Watto, Master of Water.
No, that's racist.
What? How? He's blue. All he does is wear blue. Shut up, dude. It's not fucking racist. First of all. Anyway, a lot of people had issues with who was in the tournament because of the rankings being back. But what did you think of who made the bracket? Infantry getting the Private Party upset by defeating House of Black in the first match, obviously with the help of Mark Briscoe. You got Private Party and Young Bucks going to run back the first round, obviously, again. Obviously, Young Bucks are going to destroy them this time. But that kind of sucks, too, because Private Party is just now getting back into the swing of things as a tag team again. So it's like, what the fuck? How many times are we going to start and stop fucking Top Flight and Private Party? So do you think the obviously the brackets are literally built? Go ahead. It's something stupid, I'm sure.
Watto.
Yeah.
Watto in Japanese means uh-huh. you fly through the air with grace and ease.
Anyway, so
it wasn't water.
Do you think the brackets are clearly set up for it to be Young Bucks versus FTR in the finals? Do you think that's the way they go, or do you think there's gonna be an upset somewhere?
If they do an upset, the Bucks would just come in and. Like, if the Bucks lost, they would pull some bullshit to knock out somebody on the other side of the bracket or something to kick them out and put themselves back in because that's their character right now. They're fucking heels and they're authority figures. So there's ways to do it, but there's not a way to do it that makes sense for them to not just insert themselves back into the tournament. On the other side, honestly, I thought looking at the bracket that it was going to be Best Friends versus FTR, but we'll see, I guess. Because a lot of people want Best Friends to win.
Correct. I'm one of them.
Let me pull up the bracket.
I mean, even though it's not really Best Friends, it's just Orange Cassidy and Trent, but still. I'm cool with Trent getting the title. Injured, didn't he? Huh?
Chuck's still injured, didn't he?
Correct.
What is his injury? Because he's been out a long ass time.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I don't know.
Just fucked up. I actually thought it was weird to have Starks and Big Bill in this because like you feel like there's no way they're gonna win, but
yeah, they'll probably lose to FTR, right?
Yeah, yeah. I don't see Top Flight beating them. So I've got Young Bucks over Private Party, and then Best Friends over Undisputed Kingdom, which will set up a rematch maybe for them for the Ring of Honor later, which Kingdom will probably keep.
Or a rematch between Roderick Strong and Orange Cassidy when they cost them the match against fucking Young Bucks in the semifinals.
Yeah, something along those lines, whatever. However they do it. And then, or have Kyle O'Reilly come in to make the fucking save for Undisputed when all the Best Friends come in and start beating the shit out of him. Who knows?
Kyle O'Reilly knows member of Best Friends.
Yeah. Or he just sides with Undisputed. Who knows? But with the post-show thing they did with him and Shibata, I don't know where he's, what they're doing with him yet. Then FTR beats Big Bill and Starks on the other side. And then best friends probably win the whole thing is how I was looking at it. But yeah, there's ways that they can do heel shit with the Bucks where the Bucks lose and then insert themselves into another match or whatever.
I got Bucks winning the whole thing. I think it's pretty apparent the Bucks are winning the entire thing and gonna hold these fucking titles hostage as the heels and then have Okada become some kind of champion as well. Now, the problem I have is that they've announced that the Eddie Kingston-Okada match is just literally just for the one title. It's not for all three.
Which kind of gets with an ending, right?
Because it doesn't make any sense to me.
For a triple crown? Yeah, it doesn't to me.
The whole point of this whole fucking title was to combine all three. Now, I get that maybe New Japan, feeling a little salty right now that they lost Okada, probably don't want him to hold in fucking one of their titles right out the gate. Which makes me think that Eddie Kingston is either going to win or it's going to be a DQ or some shit like that, and Eddie Kingston is going to keep this title.
That's why I feel like it's giving away the ending to split out the one belt. Because you'd have to get permission to change somebody else's title.
There would be so many people pissed off that we just went through this entire fucking thing, the C2 and all this other shit, and then you split it up immediately after without anybody else holding the Triple Crown besides Eddie Kingston. That makes no sense to me.
I imagine it gets reunified at some point.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. It's either all three titles or none of them, unless you literally have a company coming out and say, hey, we're no longer participating in that thing, which is only New Japan at this point because the other two titles are literally held by Tony Khan.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he competes, but yeah. No. What you mean? Titles are held by Tony Khan. He comes out holding up both of them. I think the issue with doing this booking, if you're not able to move all three onto the other guy, is that as soon as you announce that it's only for one of the titles, it gives away the finish. So I fully expect Okada to win.
I'm on the other side.
I
don't think he does.
I think the reason he's breaking them out and not saying both of them except for the New Japan ones, because that makes it even more fucking obvious. So, yeah, I don't know.
I'm on the other side of that. I think they're giving away the finish on Eddie Kingston's side of it because they only have one title on the line instead of all three. So I think that Eddie will, I'm not saying Eddie's going to win the match, but I am saying that Eddie's going to keep the titles. It'll be DQ or it'll be a count out or not count out, but some bullshit like time limit draw, maybe even depending on
then how. Why not just set it up for all three? Because he would still keep the belt either way.
I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to be.
There's no reason to split him out if he's going to win.
I just don't think it's going to be. I don't think Eddie Kingston's losing. Why would he lose one title and then keep the other two? That's so weird to me.
Because Tony Khan's not allowed to give away the New Japan one. And because it would make it too obvious if the only one that they said it wasn't for was the New Japan one.
Then give fucking Okada the international title or the TNT title instead. Like, I don't understand what we're doing here. Does that make sense? Well, not the international because Roddy just got it, but the TNT title easily could be.
TNT's kind of busy.
Yeah, but not really. It's more of a Christian versus Copeland thing than it is TNT title thing.
Yeah, but until they resolve that, what do you do with Okada in the meantime if their whole thing right now is we're going to get a bunch of fucking belts to be dickhead heel authority figures?
Well, you don't have
belts
to get the title off of Christian until fucking the end of this tournament anyway, because the tag team titles isn't going to be fucking given to anybody until the end of this tournament, which will probably happen at Dynasty, by the way.
It all finishes at Dynasty. It's both the Kingston match and the end of the tournament.
Yeah, but the Kingston match and Okada match is literally on Dynamite this week.
Yeah, and isn't Dynasty like literally this?
It's April 21st, bro.
April 21st. Okay. I just thought they were speedrunning the fucking tournament over the next like few shows. Okay.
They only had one match so far. They still have that the other wild card match. They haven't even had the other wild card yet.
Yeah, I figure between Dynamite and then
Rampage, because they're gonna do Rampage live after Dynamite on Wednesday this week. But yeah, I don't think. There's got to be some kind of, because you also want to further this character development that Matthew and Nicholas are doing as well. So if something shady happened and it was like a DQ and Eddie King kept their title or whatever, they can step in and do like some bullshit, like the authority type shit that you're talking about, because they're clearly being a parody of WWE management and Tony Khan. So they're like a combination of both of them with their huge announcements and their fucking big announcements.
The big-ass smiley
and
then faces.
Inserting themselves in shit that they have no business being in and all this other stuff. Yeah. And
I love it. The shit they're doing right now is so funny.
Yeah, it's funny. I agree. And the one thing I wish they would have done, though, is when they did, I wish they would have came out with Carry On My Wayward Son with Okada. Because when they replaced Omega, they acted like he was just literally just, like Omega could be easily replaced when they did the Change the World picture in the backstage area and whatever. If you would have came out that first time with Carry On My Wayward Son by Kansas, right? That shit would have been so funny to see Okada come out to a Kansas song with them. And then after that, you could have done, got rid of the song or whatever and done the Okada shit. But oh my God, it was so funny, dude. It would have been so good. Just literally just replace Omega in every way possible. Like Omega never existed and it was always Okada. That would be so good.
Have Okada come out with the Broom Girls.
Yeah, just have them like Rainmaker girls instead, and like just throwing money and shit instead of having the broom. Like just literally replace everything and just make it Okada centric, and then act like Omega literally never existed. Even have like Justin Roberts have like a special announcement thing, like the North Carolina shit for Okada. Oh my God, dude, it would be so funny. They could have really ramped that up and really made people like, what the fuck? That was just so funny. Because I love the Change the World picture from the background that they posted from the backstage area that they posted on social media, but that never got put on the actual show. So, like, for the actual show, for the audience that's actually watching, that would have been so good to literally replace Omega in every way possible.
Do you think this is the long sell for the Hangman Omega tag team to come back?
Yeah, but who would they be going against? The Bucks?
The Bucks.
I guess it depends on if the Bucks actually win this tournament and how long they're going to have the titles while they're doing
it. How long it takes Kenny to come back. But
you got to remember that Hangman is a heel right now, as far as I'm concerned.
He's a little busy. He's not a heel.
Oh, he's a heel. He's a heel. Stop. He's the heel. He's a heel. I know. Bret Hart didn't do anything wrong either. He was still getting fucking booed in America.
Bret screwed Bret. Also.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Austin turn, the double turn.
He did do something wrong.
What did he do wrong?
He was not sportsmanlike.
He beat the motherfuckers fair. What? What the fuck are we talking about? Austin was clearly the heel and he was getting fucking cheered. Just like Swerve is right now. It's literally the same thing.
Bret was not being sportsmanlike. And
he literally did the entire WrestleMania 13 match fucking sportsmanlike. What are you talking about?
Austin never broke into Bret Hart's house.
That's true, but Austin also cost him the fucking WrestleMania fucking main event by getting eliminated and then fucking sneaking back in without the referee seeing him and then throwing him out. That's honorable. That's sportsmanship. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
No.
I didn't say that Austin was a good guy either.
He was clearly the heel. Bret was clearly the face.
Bret was not sportsmanlike.
Oh my God, dude. Whatever. You're so full of shit.
Hangman's not a heel.
It's called a double turn for a reason. Bret was clearly the face.
Hangman's done nothing wrong. To be a heel, you have to be doing shit that's, like, not justified.
To be a heel, you have to get... all it takes to be a heel is to get fucking booed by the audience. Then you're a heel. It doesn't matter.
When I was at Revolution...
I told you last week on the show, Macho Man wasn't the heel during the Hogan feud either, but guess who was getting fucking booed? Guess who were they... how they were portraying him on TV as the heel?
And,
except for Jesse Ventura. He was the smart one.
What did I say? I said Macho Man was being a little crazy.
Oh, so Hangman's not being a little crazy?
No!
Dude, he beat up two referees! Whatever, dude. You're so full of shit.
No.
He beat up two fucking referees, and he's literally inserting himself in every fucking Swerve match so that he can't win the title. That's not crazy.
It's not. That was within the bounds of the rules of a three-way match. There's no DQ.
It's still crazy. It doesn't mean it's not crazy.
It's not crazy.
Oh, my God. Whatever, dude.
Drive to win.
Anyway.
Bro, you know what I mean? When his music hit and everybody was booing, I was just like, man, y'all are fickle. You're so fickle.
You think?
He's done nothing wrong, and he's from the state right above us. Y'all are haters. I was the only one cheering my Hangman. I was also the only one cheering when he fucked up them refs.
Hey, I love Magnum TA Hangman. I love Magnum TA Hangman, but he's clearly getting booed. He's clearly crazy as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to let that whole thing play out too before Omega can come back and save him or whatever the fuck the plans are. That's way down the line.
Let's not call him heel Hangman, okay? Because he's heel accurate. Hangman.
That's why he only got suspended and didn't get kicked out of the Elite. That's why he only got suspended without pay. He's a heel. All right. Speaking of heels, Bang Bang Scissor Gang is no more.
Also not heels.
After their month and a half reign as a stable. A lot of people think this will lead to the unification of the Ring of Honor six-man titles and the AEW Trios titles. I really hope not.
I said, well, so we had this conversation a few weeks ago. I said that that's what I was hoping went to. And you were like, no, I hope they stay separate. But, like, they don't have enough Trios teams over both brands to...
And I explained my point last week. That's not a fan problem. That's a Ring of Honor problem. That's not my problem. Go fucking figure it out and make some fucking six-man teams. You got fucking Bronson and Boulder and what's the other dude's name from the Iron Savages. That's a fucking Trios team that you could have in Ring of Honor right now. It's not my fault that you're not booking a fucking actual division because you've been handicapped by having the fucking Ring of Honor six-man titles in fucking AEW. Keep the titles separate, and if you don't have anything, after you unify them, like I said last week, you can unify them, and then just have fucking whoever keep the AEW ones, and just vacate the other ones so that you can bring them back whenever, and they're not tied into the lineage of the AEW Trios titles. Just put them back on Ring of Honor as vacated titles, and then do whatever the fuck you need to do to get new champions. There's no reason to fucking get rid of the titles altogether.
Do you actually watch Ring of Honor?
Yeah.
Okay, I do too. There's not... you could build like two or three Trios teams out of that roster right now?
You could build a million Trios teams because they don't have any of the other fucking titles besides the women's title over there.
What do you mean?
Eddie Kingston ain't fucking defending any titles over there.
The pure titles over there.
The Ring of Honor tag titles aren't over there.
The TV titles over there.
They're not getting defended.
Yeah. Hater.
All I'm saying is that Ring of Honor could be easily better booked. And the way to do that, step one, would be to get the goddamn Ring of Honor titles back over to Ring of Honor. It's not that difficult. Just like my guy Phil from fucking Grapsity was talking about on Twitter. Hey, man, I don't understand why it's so hard to book women's tag title division in WWE. It's not. They just don't care.
Well, they don't know how to do women's stories that aren't we hate each other, but then we're going to team up, but then we're definitely going to break up after we lose the belts for some reason. That's like their formula.
Do you think there's any merit to the fact that, hey, maybe they should hire a couple women's writers to do just the women's stuff? As far as like a tag team division or not necessarily all of it, but just to, you know.
No, you don't need to be a woman to write women.
Apparently you do because they fucking suck at it.
Yeah, but WWE sucks at writing men too. They got one good storyline happening right now? Maybe two?
What's the second
one? This is not an issue with Drew McIntyre.
Most of their stuff that is good writing is because somebody from their fucking company went out and got themselves over and then they're just piggybacking off of it.
Yeah.
The Drew McIntyre shit is not good writing. That's Drew McIntyre being the fucking amazing on Twitter and then them just bringing it over to the fucking program.
I mean, if the goal is to have them be better written, I think you just bring in professional writers.
But then that opens up a whole new can of worms because of strikes and all that stuff. They'll be involved in that kind of stuff, wouldn't they?
So they would be part of not SAG, but the other one, the
Writers Guild.
Maybe WGA.
Yeah. Writers Guild of America, I believe it's called.
Yes, technically.
They're such a big company now with TKO taking over. Don't you think that's a risk that you should be willing to take at this point?
Well, not only that, but you can hire writers for non-union work to do writing work. Like the difference is just that TV shows are pretty much always going to be union work, like scripted TV shows or whatever. And wrestling, I think, has always posited itself as non-union work. So.
Well, I'm excited for the match. I just hope it's not a unification match. But I'm with you. It probably will be. A lot of people are thinking the same thing. Like I'm not going to be shocked at all if it is, but I don't want it to be.
Well, I mean, what do you do with the team that loses that match? Let's say you don't make it a unification match. You only make it for one set of the titles. The other team loses. So you're either unifying them in the sense that one team is holding both anyway, or you're not unifying them, and then the team that still holds on to the belts after losing is always going to look like the worst team.
This is like, we're both in agreement that the Bullet Club Gold is going to win this match. So
hopefully.
If it happens, if the match takes place in a one team takes all type match, Bullet Club Gold's going to win. You could easily have it to where fucking Jay White wins it and then be like, hey, we don't want these fucking titles. We've already proven that we're the best six-man title. And troubling. Then vacate them titles. And then take them back to fucking Ring of Honor. It's not that difficult.
We don't want these ugly titles.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't want to work Ring of Honor. Say some shit like that.
These belts are ugly. Fuck them.
Six-man titles. We're only three people. That makes no sense. Get them out of here. You know, like, Jay White can fucking make it work on fucking promos, dude. Like, it doesn't... Six-man titles, but three people hold them.
Maybe. I mean, you have to remember, too, it's going to be the AEW titles that are changing hands, not the Ring of Honor ones. So it's like... They have to make new ones anyway, because obviously the Bullet Club is not keeping the fucking pink ones. So you could make new ones that are representative of the unified one, or you could just have them wear the old trios ones. But
okay,
either.
So I've always been under the assumption that, okay, everybody's like, we've always said what? NXT is a developmental brand or not? Yes or no?
I mean, I don't think anybody argues that NXT is a developmental
brand. WWE does. Okay, so here's my thing is if, and the fans do it when it's convenient for them. So if NXT beats AEW, hey, you got beat by our developmental brand. If we beat them, oh, you beat our developmental brand. It's not that big of a deal. Triple H has been on both sides of that. WWE fans have been on both sides of that. I've always viewed it as it's a developmental brand.
Or that is a developmental brand.
What?
Both things you just said are that it is a developmental brand.
I understand that. My point is that fans take both positions on both sides of the fence to use it as a developmental brand or not to their advantage.
You just said the same position twice.
No, I didn't. If AEW beats NXT in the ratings like they were doing, WWE fans will be like, hey, you beat our developmental brand.
Right.
Okay.
And what'd you say?
If NXT beats AEW, then they'll be like, hey,
you lost
to our developmental brand. Yes, correct.
So both, you just said two things that are both that it is the developmental brand. You have not said the opposite of that.
I understand that. I'm talking about from the fan standpoint. But then you have Triple H come out there and say, hey, we view these guys as our third brand. It's just as good as Raw and SmackDown. But then what does he do? What does he do if AEW beats them 40 weeks in a row? Okay, that's my point.
Then you're talking about Triple H saying different shit, but the fans never said
that. The fans are just as stupid as Triple H is. All right, so
the fans have never said that it's not a developmental brand.
Yeah, okay. All right, so anyway, I view Ring of Honor the same way that I've always viewed NXT. It's clearly a developmental brand. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Okay. Make it separate. Stop putting Ring of Honor titles on AEW TV.
Well, here's a dumb question. Do you think Athena needs to be in developmental?
No, but I also didn't think fucking Samoa Joe needed to be in developmental or Nakamura needed to be in developmental either. Your point?
Well, they need to learn how to use the hard cam.
Man, if you don't shut the fuck up, you don't shut the fuck up right now.
Samoa
the
Joe
with
an unrefined.
The only reason
plate.
Athena is still in Ring of Honor is because the shit is so good right now that they're not gonna get rid of it. That's why she's still there. If that storyline didn't take off the way that it did and wasn't so fucking entertaining, she would have already been called back up to AEW by now.
Mm. Okay.
That's fact.
Still doesn't need to be there if it's developmental.
I agree that she does. Not everybody needs to be there, but that's not the point.
So I don't think you would consider it developmental in the same way.
Yes, I do.
No, I'm not saying you specifically. I mean you broadly.
She didn't develop better down in Ring of Honor. She's doing anything better down in Ring of Honor than she ever did in fucking AEW or NXT or WWE. That's better than anything she's done. So is she not developing that character down in Ring of Honor? That's developing, is it not?
I mean, everybody should be developing their character at all times.
It doesn't necessarily mean that you are developing as a wrestler, per se, between the ropes, because I still think she's just as good as she ever was. It's not like she's gotten much better in that regard. I think she was always good. But as far as promo work and character work, yes, she's developed that character.
all of Swerve's character work has been developed on fucking AEW, so that's not even a good argument either. But no, I don't consider it a developmental brand in the same way that NXT is.
I do.
Okay.
Maybe even more
either
so.
Either way.
The point is okay. Put it on their fucking show. Keep them separate. It's not that hard of a concept. It's really not. And then I understand that, like, when we were talking about, oh, he put it on Jericho, and he put it on Joe, and he put it on Claudio, and all these people because he was trying to get a TV deal. Well, that's clearly not happening. So just put the fucking titles back over there and just be done with it, because it's not happening. It's been how many years now? 2 years? It's not happening.
When was Claudio champion?
Was it Claudio beat Jonathan Gresham for the title.
Right.
Then lost it to Jericho, and then Jericho beat him, or then Claudio beat him back. If I remember correctly, that's how it went.
The Ocho. Yeah.
It's been 2 years, I'm pretty sure.
Probably.
It's not happening. It's just not, like, not anytime soon. Now, I don't know if it... Okay, so here's the other thing about that is... we all have been talking about how... the Tony Khan... TV right thing is going to come up soon, right? It's coming up soon. He hasn't signed any new deals with TNT, Warner Brothers, Media, all that shit. So maybe he's waiting till that. And then if it still doesn't happen after that, maybe that's when he just says, fuck it, Ring of Honor is its own separate thing. I can't get a fucking TV deal type deal.
Maybe. I mean, so
there's no way Honor Club was the end-all, be-all of Ring of Honor. Like, I feel like that was just a stepping stone because, hey, I got to make some kind of money off of this in the meantime type deal. Because obviously if he makes a TV rights deal with Ring of Honor, then... it's not going to be on fucking Honor Club anymore. At least not live.
How much am I paying?
Or Honor Club, my bad.
$9? $8? I always forget. I pay some amount of money for that.
$8.99? Something like that.
Or maybe it's $5. I don't remember. I don't think it's five. It's definitely not that much.
Yeah, it's not.
But
it's like... like Peacock, maybe? $8.99?
$9.99?
Something like that.
I know it's cheap. But yeah, dude, I feel like the same as when he bought it, that the real value in it is probably the library more than the actual current content.
Correct.
So,
but also with so much wrestling that's going on right now, when do I have time to go back? It's not like when WWE Network came out and it was like the only thing to watch. Then I could go, I actually had time to go back and watch old shit. I don't have time to watch old shit right now.
Yeah.
There's so much goddamn new wrestling going on that I don't have time to go back and watch old wrestling. So yeah, the library, obviously that was a big deal of him getting it, but I'm not going to pay $9 a month to go watch old Ring of Honor shit when I don't have time to do so. So make the current Ring of Honor product better. It's not hard. And then what was the... we talked about it before on the show, and you had mentioned something about, hey, maybe he should get somebody like, back in the day, Regal, or somebody like that to run it. As far as booking it and stuff like that goes, so that, or train somebody.
I assume he's not still booking that himself.
Well, he's not really booking it at all. He's just throwing matches out there like his old fucking AEW Dark. It's not even fucking really being booked. Let's be real.
Well.
Because he has no time constraints and stuff.
You know, that's a thing where, like, whoever's out on injury that has done stuff like that before, I would have them doing it while they're out. Not Kenny necessarily.
Just anybody that wants to learn too, though. Because Austin said he learned a lot of that kind of shit when he was in ECW with Paul Heyman when he got brought over. Like, he learned a lot of the behind the scenes stuff. So, like, if you're willing, if you're like wanting to know about that kind of stuff and somebody has time to show you, then I don't see why. I think you'd be good at that too. So let me, I'll show you some stuff or whatever and then see how good they get. And if they get really good at it, then let them fucking do a couple shows here and there. Like, you're literally not on TV right now. This is the time for trial and error on that kind of stuff, in my opinion, anyway, to see who you got that's any good at it.
Yeah, I assume there are a few people that could probably do it that they're not doing anything with. Kazarian, maybe, or someone like that. Who knows?
Well, Kazarian's not there anymore, but...
I know he was in TNA, but was he, like...
No, he's in TNA. For TNA? He's gone. Okay. He's gone from AEW. He's
I didn't know gone. If he was still, like, just doing stuff
he with literally TNA, asked for his release, I believe.
Gotcha. And Daniels, I know, does the
travel shit.
The travel and relation stuff. Correct. So he's probably too busy for it. Yeah.
Well, there's guys out there like Jerry Lynn. Like, there's even guys that aren't wrestlers and already signed as producers and stuff that could probably do stuff like that. Like a Jerry Lynn if he wanted to. I don't know if they want to or not, but because we know some people don't want to. Sting.
Bring in Vince Russo.
Anyway.
You know what, though? That's obviously not serious, but if he did do that, it would get more eyes on it just to see how fucked up it gets.
What his new modern ideas are? Yeah.
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 You can't tell me it wouldn't be, like, fun. You would probably watch it just to see what happens on there, because you would then have the, like, the drive to watch it to see, like, how stupid and off the wall some shit gets, just so you can be like, oh, yeah. Like, that's Russo shit. That's clearly Russo
shit. Here's what you do. Here's what you really do. You treat Ring of Honor like it's fucking America's Got Talent, right? You give Russo 6 months, and then you give Cornette 6 months. And then we really see who the fuck the worst booker of all time was. All these people talking mad shit about AEW all the time. Let them have Ring of Honor for 6 months, and let's see the dumb shit they come up with. Like, and then let's put your money where your mouth is type shit. Like, okay. But then the thing is, I think Vince Russo is more out there than Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette is more old school. So you have to give it to Jim Cornette first before Russo completely fucks up everything. Because it's going to take Cornette 6 months just to try to figure out what the fuck Russo is even doing to try to bounce back from that. So I would give it to Jim Cornette for 6 months first, and then have Russo come in, and then piss off Cornette even worse because Russo comes in and just completely fucking messes up his whole thing. That shit would be funny as fuck. Anybody that's ever talked shit, Eric Bischoff, give him 6 months. Go fuck yourself, guys, and let's see how good you guys really are compared to AEW TV.
Should make them pay to do it, though. You don't pay them. You want to come book,
shit.
You pay me.
That should be so funny.
Yeah.
Anybody who's ever talked shit that used to book any kind of show.
No, what you do is you make them pay $10,000, and then whatever increase in Honor Club subscriptions or whatever increase in revenue Ring of Honor gets over that period, you get whatever percentage of it. You pay to play, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's not.
You make it better, you get a cut for it.
Because, well, whoever goes, well, it doesn't matter, because whoever goes first, like, let's say Cornette goes first, people are going to fucking go pay for it just to see how fucked up. So they're going to get some money.
That's
what but does it get canceled after 3 weeks is the thing.
That's why it's a percentage of total and not just, yeah.
Get him that fucking Jack Nicholson Joker deal. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, good shit. If it pops off, you're about to be a rich man. And probably get an apology, and you might even get a job at AEW. But if it doesn't go well, dude, you're never gonna live that shit down. Never.
Why is your show so bad, Jim? Yeah, you had so many good ideas, Jim.
It's because I didn't have CM Punk and Danielson. That's why it was so bad. Those are the only two people I like in AEW.
He likes bald, but No, he likes Danielson.
I said Danielson and Punk. It was the only two that he kept fucking praising the entire time, no matter what they did.
Hmm.
I think he likes MJF too. I'm not positive.
He likes MJF. He likes FTR.
Who the fuck is Russo like in AEW? Anybody?
I don't listen to Russo.
I don't really listen to him either. I see clips every now and then, but after like the third bro, I'm done.
Bro.
He says bro more than Ospreay says bruv. It's crazy. Like every sentence.
Same thing.
I understand that, but he says it more. So it's not the same thing because he says it more.
I don't know if he says it more.
Oh, he definitely says it more, bro.
Ospreay says bruv a lot, though.
No, not more than Russo says bro. I assure
you. Depends on how angry it is. You listen to that promo after Kenny Omega talked shit to him after that one Dynamite.
Oh, yeah. He said that a lot.
If he's pissed off, he says it a lot. Fuck. Or his promo before Wrestle Kingdom.
Let's talk Darby Allin, because we just got done with Bullet Club Gold. In the match with Jay White from Bullet Club Gold, he broke his foot.
Match.
He broke his foot, and now he will not be climbing Mount Everest this year. Is this divine intervention?
Nah. I mean, the thing about
dude, you know how many people was worried about this motherfucker? Like, legit?
Well, he was worried about him.
Yeah, obviously he brought it up on the fucking promo. So like, yeah. Up.
Yeah. No, the thing about Everest, obviously, you know, you have the 1% of people who die every year doing it or whatever. But 1% of, you know, thousands of people that go and do it every year, it's not, your chances of dying are not that high. Because you can always just stop and turn back around and have your Sherpa take you back down. if something goes wrong or if you don't feel like you can finish or whatever. So it's not as like treacherous as people. It's difficult. It's definitely hard. But with like advancements in modern equipment and like the people that they have now as guides and stuff like that, short of like natural disaster type stuff or injury, you're normally going to be okay to, if you don't get to the top, which a lot of people don't, to at least, you know, make it back down. So a lot of people are overstating the danger of that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's still dangerous. Don't get me wrong.
I know. I get what you're saying. But I think the issue is that, what, 90% of that 1% are people that don't really fucking climb mountains and were just trying to do it because they thought they could do it? Darby's never climbed mountains before. So no, a 100-pound fucking dude doing this for like the first fucking time, just because you trained doesn't mean anything. Like, I think his chances of passing away on the mountain are exponentially higher than someone that's been climbing mountains for years. How many of that 1% are actually like fucking climbers that climbed all the time? Probably not a lot of them.
Sure.
I think that's where people were concerned about Darby's well-being in this whole thing.
Well, I think you've been right.
If Darby climbed four other mountains before this with no problem, then I don't think there would have been as big of a fucking, like, oh shit, he's gonna fucking die out there. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. He did have a match with Miro once.
Oh my god, yeah. Anyway, I think it was some kind of sign that you probably should not be doing. I'm not saying that he's just gonna go out there and do it next year, so it doesn't really matter. He said this year it's canceled, but that doesn't mean he's not just gonna go right back out there and do it next year.
I mean, or attempt to do it. If he wants to.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to do whatever the fuck he wants to do. Like I said, like I said to Michael at work, I said, Darby is the kind of fucking dude that if he thinks he's going to die, he's not going to die on Everest. He's going to just jump off and do a coffin drop to his death just so that, because he's a fucking adrenaline junkie like that. He's like, you think Darby is going to be like, hey, the way I'm going to go out is literally just frozen to fucking Everest? No. Darby's going to be like, okay, I'm not going to make it out of here. I'm about to die. One more coffin drop. Jump off the fucking mountain type like, deal.
Put me in a cool pose for when people pass.
Find me at the bottom, bro. Yeah. No, it's like, he's definitely that kind of dude. He is a fucking weird dude. Like the wires have been crossed up there in the old skull. Like, he's that kind of person. I fully 100% believe that. He's not going to just fucking be stuck somewhere on the side of a mountain. He's going to jump the fuck off.
He's also a bit of a bullshitter, though.
I disagree.
Hey, listen. If you listen to his interviews, on
he's done enough crazy shit where I will believe. Like that, I believe that he'll do whatever the fuck he wants to do.
Okay. You go listen to his Jericho interview. He's kind of a bullshitter.
That was a long time ago, and he's done enough crazy shit that I don't give a fuck. Like, if he says he'll do it, he'll do it. I promise you. Doesn't really strike me as a dude that's going to back out because he's scared of something.
I didn't say he was going to back out.
WWE officials aren't happy with Triple H. Did you know that? And some talent.
Is that in the title of our video, but I don't know what the fuck.
And talent. You know why they're mad at Triple H? Because he didn't land Will Ospreay.
Oh, yeah.
With his lowball offer. Especially after Ospreay's last few promos and media scrums, where he proved that he can talk. He's already proven that he's better on the mic than AJ Styles, who he was being compared to by Triple H when he gave him a lowball offer compared to AEW. So Triple H is assuming that he's going to be like another AJ Styles type. And then once all these promos started happening, and then they figured out, hey, oh my God, you didn't give him nowhere close to what AEW was offering. What the fuck were you thinking? Because you're also getting, you would also get Ospreay at a lower age than you got when AJ Styles came in at 2016 anyway. So you were getting a younger wrestler than when you got AJ Styles, a better talker, and probably a better wrestler at this time than AJ was in 2016 as well.
Probably. Come on, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just saying. Hey, I'm not going to fucking sit here and act like AJ Styles ain't a fucking great wrestler, especially in 2016.
I'm just saying it's not even close.
Okay. Let's pump the brakes there, guy.
Yeah. I like AJ Styles. That's not a...
So are you shocked that he got a low offer from Triple H? That Triple H didn't know what he had sitting in front of him at the fucking negotiation table?
We don't know how low the offer was.
Well, we know it's lower than AEW. So.
Well, we also know that WWE probably wasn't going to let him go back home to the fucking UK all the time because of the travel dates and like how many dates he would have to work and stuff like that, too. So.
It would depend on which WWE officials are mad. Is it somebody that could actually do something about that kind of stuff? Or is it just people that are like Bruce Pritchard who doesn't have anything to do with it? You get what I'm saying? Like, is it somebody like a Nick Khan that could have made that those things happen where you could go back to UK and stuff like that? Or is it just bullshit stooges that are labeled as WWE officials that are upset that Triple H didn't get them? That's
well,
the question.
Why would they be upset if they had the ability to offer the things that would have secured
That's what I'm saying. It's like, who was actually at the negotiation table? Because obviously Triple H is the one that offers the contract, just like Jim Ross used to. But he's got allocated funds, does he not? It's not like Triple H can go out there and just give him whatever the fuck they want. A Nick Khan or the Ari or the Rock or whoever the fuck else is on the board for a TKO, they're the ones telling Triple H how much he can fucking actually sign these people for. No?
I don't know how that's... Because I know
there's got to be some kind of salary cap.
There's some bifurcation between the UFC side and the WWE side. So I don't think there's like some pooled TKO asset like funding that they use for both. Even though it is a parent company, I think there's still... Because the way that they're, I think it's still separated in that way. I'm pretty sure. I don't think they're pulling from like TKO funds to pay WWE wrestlers or anything.
You know, I would have made a deal. Part of the deal. I would have been like, if I'm Triple H, I'm like, hey man, every time Vince McMahon sells some stocks, all the money goes to you. Because he's been dumping them for fucking 3 years now. All that money comes to you. Every time Vince sells all the stocks, we'll just give you those stocks. Because I mean, like, what the fuck, man? Like, no, there's no way. You look at an Ospreay, even if you didn't know he could talk, right? And you just saw his in-ring ability. How the fuck did we lowball offer him compared to AEW?
Because
when you saw who... Okay, keep this in mind, too. You got to keep in mind that all the other people that he's already taken from Triple H at the negotiation table. Jay White. Deonna Purrazzo. Well, Okada, Mercedes. Technically, but that was Okada. Later than the Ospreay thing. Because Ospreay, that technically
Mercedes
happened at full gear of last year, right? So... But you
if
were losing
Mercedes
all
already,
these
if,
guys
if
in free
Mercedes
agency.
Mercedes already
Triple
been
H.
signed for 2 months, then you can count that in there too. Because they would have known 2 months ago that they lost her.
Yeah, because he said he was going to be AEW last year. So yeah, Ospreay. Oh, okay. You can take that into account too. Then I guess. But yeah, you're losing everyone. When the last like five huge names that have come out that everybody was linking to WWE have all gone to AEW, all of them. You had to have something in your mind like, hey, man, maybe we should offer these guys more money if we're actually that high on them.
You know, it's funny. I almost wonder if they were looking at him like they look at Ricochet. Like, if they still tie those two together in their brain. Like, oh, yeah, he's the guy that does flippy stuff and had the flippy stuff match with Ricochet. Here's what we use Ricochet for. Here's Ricochet's cap that we've given him. So here's what we'll offer Ospreay, who's basically just another fucking Ricochet to us. Because even when Seth was talking shit to Ospreay on Twitter, he was like, oh, no, we already have one of you here. He's our U.S. champion right now or whatever the fuck, back when Ricochet was the U.S. champion or whatever he said.
By the way, does no favors for Ricochet if you're Rollins. Good job, Rollins. You did no favors for Ricochet in that aspect. Because now anything that Ospreay does over in AEW where he's killing it and you got fucking Ricochet losing to goddamn Braun Strowman and fucking whoever, Gunther, Weekly and Ivar, like, it's going to make him look so much worse now and your company as a whole in comparison because of your stupid comment like that.
Because he do flip.
Pac does flips too, and Pac is one of the best wrestlers in the fucking world. That's my point. Yes. It's like they don't understand what the fuck they have. They just see, hey, this guy's very athletic. That's all he is. He can't talk. He can't possibly talk.
They think everyone's Cartwheel Jack. No hating on Cartwheel.
I was about to say, Jack Cartwheel's good, so.
Yeah, Jack Cartwheel, sorry. But yeah. No, it is funny, because I feel like they would take Angelico and do the same thing. Like, oh yeah, I used to do all flippy shit.
Let's not talk about Angelico, because I do think that he's being misused in AEW, so like, obviously WWE would misuse him too.
Yeah. Well, part of that is, I don't know if he can still do a lot of the stuff that he was doing.
Oh, he can
the
do it.
Anymore.
He can do it.
We'll see.
He can do it. Angelico, I need Angelico versus Ospreay, and I need Angelico to be fucking pushed in AEW. Now, I'm not saying he needs to be pushed to fucking world title or anything, but I don't... Who would have a problem with Angelico if he was actually used like he was in Lucha Underground, being a TNT champion?
TNT champion?
Yeah, no one would have a problem with that. He could easily be TNT champion.
Somebody just needs to buy Lucha Underground.
Maybe even international champion, honestly. He's an international wrestler, would fit
He is an international wrestler, South African.
And they do have really good matches that fit his style in the international division, so that could work too.
But yeah, back to the Ospreay thing. You have to assume that they just thought that he was like another like gymnast type guy when that hasn't been his style in a really long time. It makes you wonder who's doing the
scouting,
the scouting, like the research, who's watching tape, who's looking at promos.
I don't know. Whoever it is, if his name is not Regal, then it needs to be Regal again, because I feel like they've kind of given up on the indie scene, except for like the bigger names that they've been trying to get over AEW, because they knew AEW would go after them. They're not really going after the other guys anymore. They're just focusing on their athletes that come in for their fucking little Neil program or whatever.
It reminds me of, I don't know if you've heard this story, but Danielson, when he was still with WWE, apparently Vince told him at one point.
Yes, he said, watch their show and ask them, what are they doing that we're not doing? And Danielson, they're wrestling. Right. Danielson, they're wrestling. That's what they're doing that we're not doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I wonder if anybody's still in that same role.
You think Vince actually helped push Danielson to AEW? Danielson was watching. He was like, hey, this is what the fuck I want to do, bro. Yeah.
Why aren't we doing this?
What are we doing that they're not doing? Oh, they're wrestling. Let me get the fuck over here.
I remember wrestling. I used to do that all the time.
No, legit. Like, would not shock me if that's actually happened. Like, Vince actually helped Danielson get pushed over to AEW.
Pushed him into the
arms. Hey, can you go watch this and tell me what they're doing that we're not doing? Like, I've watched like 4 weeks in a row. They're fucking wrestling on the show, on a wrestling show. And I'm about to be wrestling too because I'm out. Fuck this shit. You got me on fucking talking smack, talking about Flat Earth or fucking AJ Styles. And
I know. That was also good content, though.
It's good content, but it wasn't wrestling.
It was not wrestling. Also, was he back wrestling when that happened?
Danielson, no. He was the GM, I think,
yeah.
Still.
Yeah, he was still GM. But no.
Two gold GM moments. That with AJ Styles, and then obviously the Miz one that everybody talks about all the time.
There's some scouting failure there if they're looking at Ospreay and saying, we'll offer him that Ricochet money because he does the
like
Ricochet.
It's almost like they're a casual fan. You know, these casual fans that we always talk about? That, hey, I kind of know. I know he has.
Fan and own the fucking company.
I know he has a. No, the people that are in charge of scouting, I agree with you. They should be fired. That's what I'm helping you make your point. You know enough to know that he's talented, but you don't really know how talented he is.
Mm.
As far as when it comes to numbers of figures, like, hey, what's it going to take to get this guy into our promotion type deal? Or girl. Or woman, rather. But yeah, like you had Deonna Purrazzo in your fucking NXT system.
Yeah.
She's one of the releases with Chelsea Green. You bring Chelsea Green back. Deonna Purrazzo did more away from WWE than Chelsea Green did, in my opinion. And then you have a chance to bring her back in, and you already got Chelsea Green back on the main roster, and you're still telling me that AEW got her over you? So clearly they have somebody different in charge of their scouting or whatever it is. Well, that's why I would throw out the thing about, hey, maybe they have a cap that we don't know about. Like, they're only allocating so many funds that Triple H can even use, because that doesn't make any sense to lose out on 5 straight fucking free agents.
Maybe, but then you look at the money that Okada was offered, and I think that's higher than what...
Any buyer's remorse on CM Punk right now?
Oh, 100%. He's not doing shit, and he got injured again because he's fucking fragile. Yeah.
Think about the two. Think about the. Okay, so obviously Jade away from the conversation because she hasn't really wrestled. Okay, she had the Royal Rumble and that was so far. Okay, and you're kind of protected in that kind of match anyway because it's only punches and kicks and then your two big moves and then you get thrown out, right? So yeah. She's protected in that aspect as far as, you know, she doesn't have really time to get hurt. But they're two big moves from taking over from AEW were Cody and CM Punk, and they got injured immediately when they came over.
You know, it's funny.
But you're passing on Ospreay and Okada, and who knows how much money they gave Cody and fucking CM Punk? And you're telling me that Okada and Ospreay are not worth that much? You're out of your mind.
Whatever they paid Punk was obviously too much.
Too much.
Not just for the liability aspect, but also just he's, you know, you hate to go back to that Moxley promo, but it was like 100% right. Like he's very injury prone. He doesn't have a fragile body. He's not an athletic guy.
Which is crazy. Like, it's crazy that he's more injury prone now because it's not like he didn't train those 7 years. He was doing the UFC stuff and doing all that stuff. It wasn't like he came back out of shape.
Right.
So that's why I think that's even weirder.
Yeah.
I mean, old age does take its toll on some people. Like, that's a given. But yeah, it's not like he just sat at the house for 7-9 years, whatever the hell it was, and then came back and was like, oh, I'm going to try wrestling again. Oh, this, yeah, now I'm getting hurt. No, you were in shape, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, that is weird. It's got to just be an age thing and a not being on PEDs thing, because like pretty much everybody's on fucking PEDs. Like, we could not play stupid about it. People will look at Pac and be like, oh no, he's probably not on anything. Motherfucker, you're crazy. You don't know shit about shit. You've never been in a gym in your fucking life if you think Pac is natty.
Who was it? Who was it that, Ali got fucking super shredded as soon as he left WWE? Yeah.
Good for him, though.
No, he's doing awesome right now.
Yeah, he's doing great. He just won the X Division belt, didn't he?
Yeah. He's got a couple titles, actually.
Yeah, he won. Across, I forget what the other one he won
with. Stuff like that.
Yeah. Mansoor and, fuck. Why is his name escaping me right now?
Mace,
but not Mace. Great Black Otaku, but I always forget what the fuck is.
Yeah, Mase and Mansoir.
they won a couple.
Of I don't know. What do they go by now?
What are they going by? I have no idea.
That's a great question.
Mansoor's still just going by Mansoor.
Well, ain't that his real name though? Ain't that his real name though? Like, seriously. But yeah, I'd be asking questions too if I was an actual. Like, okay, so depending on the circumstances, obviously.
Mason. Yeah, it's literally just Mason.
So it's Mason and Mansoor?
Yeah.
Okay.
But his real name is Brennan, which I feel like, I now that I read it, I do know from his stream.
But yeah, if I'm in the TKO front office and I'm giving you pretty much unlimited say-so, like, hey, just make sure we bring at least two of these people in, and you miss out on all five?
They weren't going to pay $13 million, $14 million for Okada. Like, they don't.
You really think Okada? That's what he's getting, and that's not just some bullshit that the Bucks are saying on the storyline? I think that's bullshit.
Tokyo Sports that reported that.
Tokyo Sports was also incorrect. It was also said that he came out and said that they weren't right. The same Tokyo Sports that said he was going to WWE, by the way. Okay,
he was.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. That's who we're going with.
He saw that $14 million figure. He said, "Oh."
They also, Tokyo Sports is also the ones that reported that Ohtani got married to a regular woman. And it was a fucking basketball player.
That's regular.
No, it's not regular, dude.
It's a Japanese woman who plays basketball. It's a regular-ass woman.
It's not, no. That's not what he meant when he said, I got married to a regular woman. Nice try, though.
So he said it. So whose fault is that? Is that Tokyo Sports' fault?
I don't know. I don't know if the thing got lost in translation. I don't speak Japanese. I don't know
Tokyo Sports? Probably not.
I don't know. They're losing everything else. How do you confuse AEW with WWE, motherfucker?
Well, it's confusing.
It's all the same over there. They all look alike in America. They all look like all the wrestling promotions look alike in America. WWE, AEW, it's all the same.
Yeah.
If fucking, but yeah, so it depends on what the circumstances are, but there's too many layers to it for me to actually have like a legit I'm a die on this hill opinion about it, because we don't know who the WWE officials are. We don't know who the WWE talent is. It could be Ricochet that was pissed off that Ospreay didn't get, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, he could revitalize me for a whole month or two. Yeah, I could add a match against him at SummerSlam, you know, shit like that.
Rollins probably realized there was money to be made there.
Yeah, for sure. I wouldn't doubt that Rollins ain't. I mean, I feel like Rollins was probably more pissed off that Punk came in than he was that they didn't get Ospreay. But yes, I do believe that he was probably one of the guys that was not great, not happy about it. I wouldn't say they're upset, but the words that were used were upset. I don't see Rollins getting upset to the point where, like, it made news. Now, I guess it could if he was still planning on, you know, making this new World Heavyweight title a big deal. Hey, I need new people here because I'm tired of fighting the same three dudes. And the one dude that you did bring in for me got hurt already, and I can't fight him at WrestleMania. So,
yeah,
I could see that happening. Because if you did sign him, guess what? That's Ospreay versus Rollins right there at WrestleMania instead of McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know who the WWE officials were. I don't know who the talent was that were upset. And I don't know if the WWE officials were bullshit officials or actual fucking like TKO higher ups that have to do with how much how many funds that Triple H can actually spend on an Ospreay or a Okada or a Peraza or a Mercedes or Jay White, who they also lost out on, by the way.
Do you think Regal is an official?
I don't know what the fuck he is. He literally just came back on NXT TV for the first time. Last week or the week before, about the Heritage Cup thing in NXT, but he's not an actual, like, I guess he's just like a side fucking character on NXT right now. I don't know what his actual role is anymore.
his son's dad.
Yeah, pretty much. But I like his kid too. His kid's pretty good.
Got a good look too.
All right. Speaking of not knowing anything, internet fans wanted Chad Gable over Sami Zayn to go against Gunther at WrestleMania 40. So much so that some of the blowback affected Sami Zayn after the match when he couldn't understand why some hated that he was getting the IC title shot. Now, you are a big proponent of Chad Gable being the one that dethrones Gunther. At least you have been in the past. All right? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this because I'm actually on the side of Sami Zayn versus Gunther because I've already seen Gable versus Gunther twice, and I've never seen Sami Zayn versus Gunther for the fucking IC title. So I'm cool with... I wouldn't say that I'm going to like the match more than a Gable versus Gunther, but I don't have a problem with Sami Zayn being in this spot. If that makes sense.
Why don't you want Gable to finish his story?
Because Gable doesn't have a story to finish.
Yes, he does.
They're not going to push Gable to the next level like they are Gunther after Gable wins. He'll just lose it to fucking Ivar or somebody like that. That doesn't fucking matter. Or Bronson Reed. It doesn't matter. No, it's not the same, dude. Like, you need to give it to somebody that's going to help keep that title where it is, where Gunther has it. Not somebody that's going to fucking lose. I'm not saying that Gable can't. I'm saying that WWE won't allow him to do it. Is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Sami Zayn has a better shot of WWE letting him do that than Gable does. So I'm cool with Sami Zayn being... I don't want either one to dethrone Gunther at WrestleMania 40, to be real with you. I'm going to pick Gunther on our prediction show. I don't care. I don't want him to lose the title to either one. But I'm okay with Sami Zayn. I'm not like, oh man, that was a huge mistake. It should have been Gable. No, I disagree with that.
I don't.
But it affects you enough to be like upset about it, like all these other people, though.
I'm not upset about it.
Okay, so you don't have an issue with it. You're like basically backwards of what I am, but just like you don't care either way. Like they're both good options, but you'd rather have Gable, and I'd rather have Sami Zayn.
My thing is, Sami's already had his WrestleMania moment, right? He's already won the tag team titles with Kevin Owens. Gunther's already had his when he beat Sheamus and McIntyre at the same time. That was WrestleMania, was it not?
Correct.
And that was also for the Intercontinental title.
In the middle of his run, yes.
Right. And Gable hasn't had anything like that. And it would make sense for Gable to finally overcome Gunther. It doesn't make Gunther look bad to have beaten this guy twice and then for him to finally, like, get his fucking number or figure him out or whatever. And then you give Gable, like, a really good moment. I think that, in that context, Gable made the most sense. If you look at it as, well, he's already lost to him so many times and he hasn't really done anything to win his way back up to a title shot, then I would say if he had won the gauntlet match or whatever the fuck, then he would have won his back way back to the title shot, so that doesn't really count. And it's not like Sammy's done that much to win it aside from that match either, so that's not really a good argument. I don't mind Sammy in it, and it's not, you know, one of the things that I saw, apparently Sammy was like, oh, I thought people liked me or whatever. I do like Sammy. I like Sammy a lot. I just feel like...
Well, you're not one of the people that he's referring to either, though.
I don't think anybody was shitting on Sammy.
Oh, they were shitting on it. Not the live audience, the internet
I believe
audience.
It, I guess. But, like, I believe it, but I didn't see it personally. But, yeah, no, I don't have a... Like, I don't hate Sammy or anything, and I'm definitely not like, oh, he doesn't deserve it or whatever the fuck. I just feel like, narratively, it would have been a better story and a better moment for someone that hasn't had one yet, for it to have been Gable and to have him finally overcome Gunther, and then it's like a good stage for Gunther to finally lose it on, because he's had it fucking forever. I think he is the longest reigning now, right? Ever?
Yes.
So it's time. It's like 100% time.
Not everything needs to happen at WrestleMania, just so you know.
Not everything needs to be a fucking record title run either.
That's true, too. They're really on a kick about that kind of shit right now. I don't know why, but...
Well, that's
it's almost like they're trying to make up for all the bullshit hot potato when they were doing before, when everybody's like, man, I really miss longer runs or whatever. And now they've taken it to the fucking extreme on the other side of the spectrum.
Yeah. But even just a few minutes ago, you were like, oh, well, if Chad wins it, then what? Then he loses it to what? Yeah, who cares?
Because I mean, I'm one of those people. I hated fucking John Cena having the title every other fucking month, dropping into Edge and Orton, and they were just changing it back a million times throughout the entire and throughout 1 year. They were all fucking five time champions throughout 1 year. Like, come on, man.
You don't become 16-time champion without breaking a couple eggs. because you got to lose it that many times.
Yeah, I agree, but his career also wasn't nowhere close to what Flair's was. Flair had the title way longer when Flair had his 16 runs, is what I'm saying. It's like, it was almost like they were doing it on purpose.
There wasn't as, the weekly show wasn't around for most of Flair's
stuff. That's true, but you also don't need to fucking book a goddamn world title match every Raw either. That's your fault for, that's how you had to get people to watch your show instead of fucking actually putting out good content.
I mean, they didn't, though. Most of the show at the time was still not entirely like jobber matches or whatever, but it, there weren't a lot of title changes happening on Raws. It was just they had so many pay-per-views that it was
changing. That's true, too. Two fucking pay-per-views a month because you had a Raw and a SmackDown pay-per-view, which was fucking dumb.
Yeah. So a lot of that was happening on minor pay-per-views is what that was. But, yeah, no, I would have preferred Gable. It doesn't bother me that it's Sammy. My thing with it being Sammy is that I don't think Sammy's going to win. So then why are we doing it?
Because this is what I want to happen. If they're going to play it like this, right? Because I don't need Roman and Gunther to both lose their fucking titles at the same WrestleMania and then we start anew, right? I'm cool with Gunther beating Sami Zayn. And if you want to give it to Gable, give it to him at SummerSlam and then have Gunther go off and win the Royal Rumble next year to go against Cody. His title for like the Rocky moment where it's the American dude versus the evil fucking Austrian. I think he's Austrian, right? So you have the evil foreigner type deal, like the big motherfucker evil. That's way bigger than Cody, you know, shit like that. That's going to fucking destroy him. What?
Yeah, he's not even really a heel anymore. He doesn't really do that much heel shit.
Yeah, he's a heel.
I mean, he wrestles heel style, but his character work is not really that heelish.
Yeah, well, he's just heel, so it doesn't matter. He's heel, and anybody that goes against Cody is going to be heel for the foreseeable future. So this is boring, obviously, injury from any of these guys too, clearly. But I would have Gable beat Gunther at SummerSlam, have his big moment there, and then have Gunther win the Royal Rumble and go against Cody next year at WrestleMania is how I would do it. But yeah, I don't want to see Sammy or Gable win at WrestleMania either, because we already know that Roman's not beating fucking Cody. Well, then again, we said that last year too, so.
We did say that.
Do you really think they're going to say fuck it and do it again and then have him beat Hogan's record? Because that's clearly the thing on the line right now, right? Is Hogan's record.
I would.
But it won't. Yeah, because we don't like Hogan. Agree. But.
No, it's just I don't want.
Hogan. No, it's why. It's that we don't ever have to mention Hogan's name ever again.
We would. He would still get mentioned.
It'd be Bruno and Roman and that's it. There is no more Hogan.
He fucking Royal Rumble. He had a full pre-show promo at Royal Rumble. He's still going to be around.
40 years of WrestleMania or 40 years of Hulkamania is good. That's a cutoff. We're done. When Roman wins against Cody, then we don't talk about Hulkamania anymore.
5 years of Hulkamania was enough for me.
It's Chiefamania.
Yeah. All right.
Chiefamania, baby.
I think I said this last year is that the funniest possible outcome would be for Roman to win. And then he won. And then I think I even said that if they're going to tell the story again next year, I hope he wins next year. Because I do. That's the funniest booking to me. You've already kind of fucked it up, so why not just go 100% have Cody lose again?
No joke. So, like, here's the deal. Like, if they do that, right, which would be fucking, I agree.
We're in inning five now, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like MASH where the show went on longer than the actual war did. The fucking
yeah.
So if Roman wins, right? If they don't see drop off from their audience in any kind of way, then what's to say they just don't keep doing that until they do see drop off? Because like, how many times can you alienate the fan base and the ratings aren't really dropping? Now, we've had year over year that we've talked about, like, oh, yeah, these ratings on TV aren't as good as the ratings from, like, 10 years ago. But from last year to this year, they haven't dropped off. So, yeah. Because wrestling is probably higher now than it has been in a long time as far as consistency goes and gaining viewers and stuff like that and live gates and all that. If Roman beats Cody again, do you think they alienate enough of their fan base to be like, oh, no, we fucked up this time. We should have let Cody win this one. Like, is there going to be a big enough drop of like, fuck this, I'm done with this company type deal?
I doubt it.
You really think there won't be a significant drop off?
WWE fans are broadly fans of the company and not of the product.
Yes, obviously.
Like, they have their favorites or whatever. Yes. But they'll still watch it just because it is WWE, so I don't think so.
It'll be interesting to see how that goes. Like, I mean, how... It's weird to me because...
How much shit are y'all willing to eat?
Yes. It's, WWE is like a video game that pisses you off. Like, sometimes mm-hmm. you love it, so you keep coming back for it, but every time you play it, you realize, man, fuck this game. I hate this fucking game. And yet you turn it on again the next day.
It's literally World of Warcraft. These garbage-ass balance changes, shitty expansions, but you still will come play it. And eventually you'll quit when you realize there's other shit out there that you could put your time into, but...
But it's not before they got 10 other people in your place.
Stay addicted to it, yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, we already got 10 other people, so you leaving isn't going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
They don't understand... The new people coming in don't understand that we're about to fuck up the game for them soon, too. Yeah. All right, we got one more topic to talk about. Let's talk about the New Japan Cup Final Four. You ready? Let's bring it up there. I do have the graphic up there. Oh. The Final Four is Goto versus Sonata and mm-hmm. Evil versus Yota.
Yeah.
Yeah, so are we thinking Sonata versus Evil in the final here?
I feel like they've done that like 8 fucking times now.
I honestly don't. I feel like it's always going to be set up to that, but it never really is that. Were you surprised that Sonata beat Jack Perry again and they didn't let Jack Perry get the dub after they've been pushing the shit out of his new gimmick?
A little bit. That did surprise me a little bit. But then I also figured when the bracket wasn't set up to be them in the final, that they were probably going to have Sonata go over. Because he's such a recent world champion for them, too.
I'm a fan of them actually using 4 non-Gaijin wrestlers in their Final Four. Because you had Jack Perry and Finley, who both look like they could go to the Final Four. And mm-hmm. we know that they've been having to retool because you just lost Okada. You lost Jay White. You lost Ospreay. Right? So you lost all these people. And a lot of them were their Gaijin people. And they clearly are building up David Finley to try to be something that he's not. You lost Omega before that, obviously, as well. So it's nice to see them get back to their roots. And it's like literally 4 Japanese dudes are in the Final Four of this. So even if it's not the 4 guys that maybe people wanted, Evil... not me, baby. I love Evil. But Evil, who everybody is pissed off about. But I do like that they got the young dude Yota in there. Sonata has only been 1-time champ. Evil's only been 1-time champ. And Goto has been champion before, but it was a long time ago, I believe, right? Because Goto's been around for a while.
Yeah.
So, because Goto is the Randy Orton of the promotion, I believe. That's what people say.
Something like that. Some people say he's the Steve Austin of the promotion. It just depends on who you ask. But
Goto is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. But but Goto was in the tag team with Yoshihashi, right?
Yeah, for a little bit.
Yeah, okay. So I don't think he's going to beat Sonata. So Sonata's definitely going to the final. Is it going to be Evil or Yota? I would pick Yota because he's the younger guy, and nobody wants to see Evil. I don't care if Evil wins, but I'd rather see Yota too, just because he's the younger dude, and I'm a huge Yota fan. But if it's Sonata versus Evil, and then Evil doesn't win, I'm going to be pissed. So I'd rather see Yota get that rub against Sonata, even if Sonata still ends up winning anyway. But isn't the winner of this the person that fights, what the fuck do they fight at? It's not, obviously not Wrestle Kingdom, because that's the G1 winner, but they get the title shot, obviously, but I can't remember when the fuck that is. I can't remember what show it is. Not New Beginning, because that already happened. What's the fucking thing in the summer that they do? The tour? I forgot what they call it. They call it something. It's in the summer that they do this. They'll give the title shot to whoever.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. They've been doing it for a while. I can't remember
the name of the tour, though. Because then, like, right after that is the junior heavyweight tournament where the winner of that gets to fight against the winner of the fucking... Or gets to fight the champion. Because we had Takahashi versus Naito last year, I believe. Or not last year, but a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sonata versus Takahashi last year too.
It's been so long.
The winner of the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tournament gets to fight the New Japan IWGP Heavyweight Champion, and it usually always goes. Obviously, the heavyweight champion is going to win because the title's on the line. But
that's the junior stuff. This isn't.
I know. I said that happens after this. Tour that I'm talking about. That's why I'm saying this is definitely during the summer. I just don't remember what the hell it's called off the top of my head. Yeah, they let Ren Narita get pretty far. Beat Zack Sabre Jr. in the first round.
New beginning.
Ah, new beginning was just happened, I thought.
Yeah, maybe.
New beginning just happened.
Who knows? Either way, so the thing that surprised me with this is that Shingo lost. I was pretty surprised to see Shingo lose. It almost seems like they don't really know what to do with him anymore.
It is considered the second most prominent heavyweight tournament in New Japan after the G1, obviously. Because it's a single elimination.
Cup
the other
winner
one is
challenges
John Robin.
At Sakura Genesis in April.
Genesis, yes. Sakura Genesis. Okay. So, oh, it's April, so it's actually pretty soon then. I thought it was summer. So that's still spring then. Okay, so summer must be the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tournament or whatever thing that they do.
Yeah.
Because the Tag League is in the summer too, right? I think the Tag League is in the summer too. Or G1. Because G1's towards the end of the year, I thought. Not the end, but like...
G1 is in summer.
Is G1
G1's
summer?
Usually June, July.
But late summer though, right?
They've had it in June, July.
Oh, no, that's early
it's
summer.
It's definitely
then.
Summer though.
Okay. Summer for us. I don't know what their seasonal things are, but...
They're in our hemisphere.
So I've got Sonata versus Yoda probably in the final, with Sonata winning the whole thing, unfortunately. I'd like to see Yoda, though, win it.
Yeah, I want Yoda to win, too, but I probably won't.
What do you think about the hair versus hair match that we didn't get to talk about last week?
Which one?
Yoda versus Yuya.
Oh, yeah.
Where we all came out losers.
How?
Because neither one of them should be in that position. That's bullshit.
Mm. I guess.
Fuck Gato. You gotta be fucking kidding me. Gato was just pissed because they both had luxurious hair and he did not. They like, one of y'all getting rid of your shit.
Should have booked it as a draw so they both have to do it.
Draw would have been nobody has to do it. The time limit draw would have been nobody has to do it. Double DQ or double count out, you both have to do it.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's the rules.
In a loser leaves town match, if there's a double count out, do you both just leave town?
Double count out? Yeah, sure. Double DQ, maybe, because you put everybody in jeopardy anyway. Get the fuck out of here. Oh, shit. It'd be funny as hell. Oh, you know what they should do in a loser league talent match, by the way, since we're just adding in stipulations for fun? If the ref fucks up and like somebody had their foot on the rope and they counted three anyway, the ref has,
to leave town.
The ref has to go. Get the fuck out of here, dude. All right, that's all I got for the show today, but we're both picking Yoda as who we want to win. Who do you think's going to win, though? You think Yoda will win, or you think they're going to go Sonata?
Sonata's had the world championship recently enough that I don't think they push for him to have another world title match already. They probably are going to give it to somebody that they feel like needs the bump, which would be literally any of the other three. I can see them having Goto win it. Just because he's coming off like a tag run, and they want to... reestablish him as a singles guy.
I mean,
Yoda world title though.
Yoda versus Naito would be really fun to watch. Like, I would go out of my way to watch that match. That's why I want him.
They've already had it. They already did it once.
Yoda fought Will Ospreay in a fucking 5-star match, and Yoda when he first came over fought Sonata.
Mm. Oh yeah, that's right.
Not Naito. Naito didn't win until this year, so I don't think they've had a definitely not one for the title anyway.
Yeah, not for the title. Hmm.
So I want to see Yoda. Out of the four people that are left, I want to see Yoda versus Naito for the title. That'd be sweet. Because Naito's winning regardless, but still.
Yeah. I don't see them changing a lot for him anytime soon.
You know, we just talked about WWE doing these long reigns or whatever. It's been a while since New Japan has not done a year-long reign. I believe was the last time that didn't take the title all the way back to Wrestle Kingdom.
Sure, but if you remember... Years ago, one of the things
literally
that we used
whoever
to talk
wins
about,
at Wrestle Kingdom, you're pretty much guaranteed to have it at next Wrestle Kingdom. It's crazy to me.
What we used to talk about a few years ago when they were doing all the hot potato reigns in WWE was that the reason that the IWGP title had so much more prestige to it was that the reigns were longer.
Yeah.
So this is something that we actually used to say was a good thing. And I still think it is a good thing. It's a good thing as long as the reason isn't because you don't have talent to give it to.
Well, the other thing with the New Japan thing, like you just mentioned, is that they have a lot less shows than the WWE does, too.
Yeah.
So it makes a lot more sense. But there are things like this, like so many tournaments and stuff, and then the guys never win when they get their shot after winning the tournament. It's like, how am I supposed to be like, oh man, yeah, he won the tournament, he has the legit shot, when we all know that Naito's probably just going to have the fucking title at Wrestle Kingdom against whoever won the G1. Well, when
Sammy loses against Gunther, is that any different?
Who loses against Gunther?
Sammy.
No, it's not. But what I'm saying is that doesn't happen all the time.
I guess.
This is a new kick for WWE. This isn't something they've been doing for the last 5 years like New Japan has.
Hmm. Well, I mean, they've been running New Japan Cup since 2006.
How many New Japan Cup winners have actually beaten the fucking world champion?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have to go and look.
Because the G1 winner has won a lot because they're getting the title at they're getting the title match at Wrestle Kingdom, so that makes sense. Yeah. But how many New Japan winners actually beat the fucking IWGP champion? Because guess what? That champion probably just got crowned at Wrestle Kingdom. There's a good shot that they just got crowned at Wrestle Kingdom, so they're not going to fucking lose the title 3 months later.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, they got a lot of tournaments that don't usually result in anything as far as when they go against the actual world champion in New Japan, unless it's the G1. And there's a lot less wear and tear on the body after a single elimination tournament. There is a fucking round robin tournament where you have to turn around and fucking fight. Well, not turn around, because there is a couple months in between, but still. I'm fighting 3 matches versus fighting 15 matches.
Plus still doing openers and multi-mans on nights that you're not in the actual tournament.
Exactly,
leading up
to the Wrestle Kingdom match. Yeah, it's like just logically, storyline-wise, it doesn't really make a lot of sense why you have more titles change hands from the G1 winner to the Wrestle Kingdom title match than you do the New Japan Cup, when they had a lot less wear and tear on their body.
Well, the G1 normally includes the champion. The New Japan Cup never does.
That's true. That part is true. Okay, I can give you that one. But how long? How many? They haven't always done that either, though. They haven't always put the IWGP champion in the G1, right?
Not always, but they never do for the New Japan Cup.
Yes, no, agree with that. Yes, so that makes sense. That you went against 3 dudes, and I went against nobody, or 3 or 4 dudes, and I went against nobody.
Yeah,
I can see that. But like, I feel like it's been like the last 5 years, the New Japan Cup winner has not beaten. Or no one's even thought, like, oh yeah, they're about to lose to this guy. If that makes sense.
I thought after Ospreay won it, he won his, but maybe not.
How many years ago was that?
In a minute. It was 2022, wasn't it? I have to look it up.
Who did Sonata beat for the title? Okada, right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I don't know if it was 2022 then for Ospreay. Unless you're talking about he won, because I thought that was the year he was all over the US title type shit.
Hmm.
Yeah, I remember during the COVID shit, we had the big Moxley stuff too. Moxley, Juice Robinson, Ospreay,
Lance Archer,
family, all that kind of shit. Archer, yeah, Archer.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I'm hoping Yoda wins. We're both picking Yoda to win as far as what we want to happen.
We want to win. Yeah.
But I got a feeling it's going to be Sonata, though.
Probably.
If Sonata loses, though, I can guarantee you he's not winning G1.
Yeah, I don't see them having him win G1 anyway. It didn't really pan out
for
them last time.
When's the next time you think they'll give it to like a younger dude like a Yoda for G1? Let's actually push somebody up to Wrestle Kingdom with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it could be this year. Depends on what happens in the tournament.
I mean, you have no Okada. Naito is the champ. Sonata, if he wins this and goes on to lose Naito, he's not winning the G1. It could be.
Could be Perry. Another Gaijin in there.
No, it will not be the scapegoat. Sorry. It won't be.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the mask thing either, but come on, man. You know, whatever. It's something. He does look more adult now though. He looks like he's grown up a little bit. Could just be body hair.
It would be interesting. Who do you think is the next Gaijin that they push, besides Finley, obviously? Do you think it's a Gabe kid?
I feel like they've started to stop to him a couple times. They should, if they really wanted to pick somebody to start pushing forward hard, I would pick Clark Connors. But it ain't up to me.
Really? Clark Connors?
Yeah, he's good.
Like 4 feet tall.
Okay, so it's fucking Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, but in Japan that matters, though. 4 feet tall in Japan is not good.
You think Ishii isn't 4 feet tall?
Ishii looks way bigger than fucking Clark Connors. Put them in a match together, you tell me.
How tall do you think he is?
Who, Ishii? I don't know, but he's bigger than he is, so it doesn't matter.
That man's like fucking 5'2".
Also a fucking wall.
You gotta put all that weight somewhere when you're 5'2". It just goes out.
Little
meatball.
Clark Connors. I'd push Gabe Kidd over Clark Connors.
I mean, Kidd's not bad.
I don't know how long Jack Perry's gonna be there, but you know who could win the G1? Shota.
Yeah, but they just had him lose against
Against Jack Perry in the first round.
And not only that, but before that, before the cup, I mean, they had him lose to, who the fuck did they have him lose to?
You're souring on him? Can't be souring on this dude already.
I'm not. I just...
No, I know, we're not. Season that way. I'm saying New Japan. Gato.
Yeah. Maybe.
Like, I'd be cool with a Yoda versus Shota fucking final in the G1 would be sick. Like, I need to see younger dudes because of... You're losing the older guys, or the older guys are clearly on the backside of their career and not going to be winning the titles that many more times, like a Naito. This might be one of his last one or two world title reigns. Tanahashi, probably not getting another one from Tanahashi. It's time to start pushing some of these younger dudes. Like, and Shota and fucking Yoda are sitting literally right there.
Nick Nemeth.
That is a gaijin. Yeah, and I don't know how long his contract is, actually, so I don't know. Because he's working TNA too. Oh, we'll see. But I'm hoping for I'd be super hyped about a Shota versus Yoda final in the G1 would be sick.
Yeah, it'd be a good match.
Alright, guys, that's gonna do it for the show today. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll be back next Sunday with more Monster Cast. And of course, we will be having a couple prediction shows coming up here soon in April as well March for WrestleMania, because I think that's on the 6th and 7th or some shit this year. And then of course we'll have Dynasty predictions in April as well, since that's coming up on the 21st. And I think we'll get more hype level stuff next week for WrestleMania. I want to see who these other tag teams are in this ladder match that they're going to put in there. They announced the tag team ladder match. It was like 4 or 5 tag teams or whatever the hell it's going to be. So I'm excited to see who actually is entered into that. Because I was going to do another hype level thing today, but they haven't really announced anything besides a tag team in a ladder match. We already knew about Jimmy and Jay, and we already knew about all the other ones that we said. I think the only one that's been made official that we didn't talk about last week was AJ Styles versus LA Knight is now going to happen at WrestleMania, apparently. So,
awesome truth.
You think they're going to be one of the tag teams? It could be.
Yeah, maybe. It could be.
I mean, they do have the thing going on with Judgment Day, so that makes sense. DIY probably Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne, probably all the people that were like in contention for the last tournament that they had. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes, but we'll be back next week right here on the MonsterCast. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of your Sunday and week coming up. Deuces.